It was back in April of this year that Carrick Macross was on the lips of people around the world as Kate Middleton walked up the aisle for her wedding to Prince William wearing a lace bodice and a skirt that was hand-stitched using the lace-making technique which originated in County Monaghan in the 1820s. When it comes to lace-making, Ireland is on the map, particularly Carrick Macross and Limerick lace, but there is another tradition of lace-making, a unique way of making lace that was nearly lost to a new generation of lace-makers, and that story starts in 1845 in Yaw. In her continuing look at all things made in Ireland, Ella McSweeney has travelled to Cork to hear more about the story of the revival and the comeback of Yaw lace. Ella, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we'll hear the story of Yaw lace in a moment, but just to remind us of the other types of lace in Ireland.
Yeah, we have quite a tradition. And remember what lace is, which is a needlework, a needle and thread making holes, fabric that has holes. So you don't cut the holes in like if you're making doilies, for example, you cut paper up with, like you did with a child. Lace is quite incredible in that regard. All of it inspired by the continent, France and Italy, 16th century, brought over here because the market was there for it. It's a luxury born out of poverty in Ireland, an impoverished population. But we have traditions like Inish McSaint in Fermanagh, Carrick Macross, as you mentioned, Kenmare lace, Limerick lace. All of them are their own breed of lace and their own tradition. They've got their own style.
The story of Yaw lace begins with the story of Mary Ann Smith of the Presentation Convent in Yaw.
Back in the 1840s, when obviously it was during the famine, and she had picked up a piece of Venetian lace, Venetian point lace, unpicked it, decoded it, understood it, put her own tradition on it, and Yaw lace was born. Veronica Stewart is a lady who's one of the most famous lace makers in Ireland, and she really is responsible for saving Yaw lace.
It began when I was giving a talk one night in Yaw, and I was talking about Limerick lace and Carrick Macross lace. And a lady came up to me, a lady called Margaret Hayes, and she asked me afterwards if I was from Cork and why I wasn't talking about Cork lace. And at that time, I didn't know such a thing had existed. And she gave me a phone number, and I ended up with Sister Mary Coleman in the Presentation Convent in Yaw, and she was the custodian of the lace rooms, though they were closed for a long, long time. The last records had showed about 50 years since it was worked.
And when you went to the convent in Yaw and you saw the amazing collection of lace that they had, this Yaw lace, what did you make of it?
I remember the day well. She took me upstairs to show me what she had up there. Sister Coleman gave me little pieces of unfinished work. She told me many years later that she knew there and then that it was saved.
That it was saved because you were going to save Yaw lace.
She knew. She would have told me that she knew from the word go that we were going to get Yaw lace back working again.
And had you seen anything like it before?
Never. I knew it was the best there is. Like in Limerick lace, we work on a cotton net. In Carrick Macross lace, we work on net and Swiss cotton organdy. But Yaw lace was created totally with a needle and thread. So it's a pure lace.
And so what had happened was that this, in many ways, is forgotten language of lace making had been found, understood, rejuvenated and then taught on to new generations.
Yes. And people are still coming to learn it. People have come recently from Essex. I've had the Hungarian lace makers, the Italian, the French, the German. It's wonderful.
So Mary Ann Smith in 1845 had created Yaw lace and then it had gone, it had disappeared. And Sister Coleman had just kept this in her attic. And she said, it was interesting, Veronica said, Sister Coleman said to her, I knew someone like you was going to come and save it. So Veronica then showed me some of the lace that Sister Coleman had given her.
I have a piece here that Sister Coleman gave me first day. It's in among these folders.
And were they well preserved in the convent?
They were very well kept. Sister Coleman would have been the custodian and she knew what she had there. This would be made in about the 1800s.
This is beautiful. So this is a circular piece of lace. A
circular piece. And the trim would have been like a needlepoint trim all the way around the finger edging. And so after she gave me that, I copied it. But I had the antique thread that was found below in the convent. So I used the thread that they used to use, but I used linen. Ours would be slightly heavier.
The actual pattern is of flowers.
It's a flower and a spray of leaves. I had a great time. I loved it at the time. I have tiny samples here that I can show that I worked from. It's in the cupboard here. This is the book that I put together at the time.
It's just remarkable. And we'll turn the page here.
Spider would make.
It's exactly like a web.
These are samples of the old threads that I found in the convent, and we're told some of them are finer than human hair. They're about number 400. There's a price list here, so you could order a collar between 3 shillings and £3.
And there's a nice piece here, the old annals of Yule. Every gentlewoman with enough wealth at her command prized much being the possessor of some of this beautiful lace.
Yeah, isn't that nice? The annals, of course, came from the Presentation Convent.
How successful was your lace in its prime?
It was very successful, and obviously patronage were the lords and ladies and the royalty in England as well. And she told me a little bit about the success, actually, because it's quite remarkable.
It was hugely successful. There was a train made for Queen Mary in 1911 for the Delhi Ball, and I believe that's still in the hands of the royal family.
And that was made by your people?
It was made by your people. It was ordered by the ladies of Belfast. And they would have paid for it. It was a long cloak that hung on her shoulders and hung like a train behind her. There was the fans for Princess Maud. There was a veil for Princess Alexandra. Queen Victoria always wore yaw lace on her underwear. Queen Victoria was great, really, for the orders because she had a waist of 57. So that was a lot of lace to be ordering. The fall came in about the 1920s after the war, and machines came in and people went abroad. It was also, they felt, a very poor thing to be doing, you know. It was a poor man's craft then.
And so the decline in the 1920s, and I suppose it's something that needs to be taught through the generations, doesn't it? Or it'll die very quickly.
Yes, and a lot of work I noticed, in particularly in Hungary now, where they are still making lace for a living, it's a mother and daughter and granddaughter thing that you pass on from one to the other.
Well, it's great that it's been kept alive. I believe she got a very interesting anonymous letter recently.
She recently published a guide to your lace from her work, and she got an anonymous letter from an older gentleman in the post.
Princess Alexandra's veil was made in Yall. The ladies in Yall who made it, they actually, in lace, put into the corner of it Daint an Éireann. And so a few
Made in Ireland.
And so a few weeks ago, I got a letter from a gentleman telling me that his grandmother was actually one of the lace makers who took part in the making of that veil. And she was 34 years of age. And he says, just before they assembled the complete veil, that she and two of her friends were taken to a military barracks in Cork, and they had to undo and unpick the Daintha in Éireann piece written in Gaelic. Three of them were incorporated into the design. Then they had to repair the damage that they made, and they had to put in, I think it was roses, but this gentleman doesn't tell me what it is. And he said that they were fed and watered but received no payment for their labours, and they were sent home by local railroad system.
What an extraordinary story. Absolutely. Ella, thank you very much for that. Ella's with me every Monday with her Made in Ireland slot. It's an Athena Media production supported by the BAI Sound and Vision Scheme. For more audio, photographs and video, you can go to the Made in Ireland Facebook page, our own website on rte.ie/today with Pat Kenny, where everything is featured.